Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Much of the Christian church is at a crossroads at the moment. Long ago, it ceased benefiting from the old notion that going to church was the right thing to do. Probably for 50 years now, a feast of other worldviews have been invading what the church thought was its traditional space. And for the last 20 years, its voice has been all the more marginalised by the ongoing, unbelievable scandals over child sexual abuse. I actually think the church is only beginning to come to grips with where that's left it in the minds of so many people. So considering all that, it is refreshing to see people thinking of new ways to connect and engage Christian faith in the community with credibility, authenticity, no hidden agendas, meeting the community where it is. This has emerged on the New South Wales South Coast, spearheaded by the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Church, Paul Bartlett. It may well be a vision of the church of the future, turning a lot of thinking upside down. Paul, welcome to Open House.
It's great to be here, Lee.
It's great to meet you. Paul, it seems to me that you get the great challenge the church faces today to be relevant, to connect with the community.
Yeah, I guess one of the startling things that happened to me when I became the senior leader there was we made a decision to renovate our building. And when we renovated it, I bumped into people who walked past our building who'd been doing that for 20-something years and asked me, had we just moved in? And that was a shocking statement to me because I thought, gee, you mean you live next door to us and didn't know we exist? You know, I grew up in a great church, had great times, loved my pastor, but there was just a disconnect between us and the community.
Okay, how's that happened? Why, when 50 years ago the church was so central to little local communities, why the disconnect now?
I think a couple of things. I think, unfortunately, if we're really honest with ourselves, churches can become enamored with what they do on Sundays. And Sundays ends up becoming the big day of the year rather than the Monday, Saturday. It's almost like people think that God has saved up all his power and releases it one day a week, and then we just go back to being normal the other 6 days. But to us, we want to flip that round. We want to say, well, Sunday's good, but it's not the most important day. The most important days of the week are the Monday to Saturday, and we'll come in Sunday and celebrate what we did during the week.
Has the church been too inward-looking, only concerned with itself in a way?
I think the church, and the church I love, gets scared of change. And we know what's worked for a season, and we just assume that that's going to work for the next season, but it just simply doesn't.
So take us through what you've done about it in your community, where you're heading with it. First of all, you became chaplain to the Hawks basketball team.
Well, I know. Well, I nearly didn't do that because, you know, transitioning from this old culture, I thought, well, how can I? I'm too busy working on Sunday stuff. I'm too busy being a pastor. But it actually became a pivotal decision for me to focus on community. And so for me to go in there, now I'm 6'4". When I stand in that room, I'm actually the short guy in that room, average height about 6'11". But getting in there made me realise a couple of things. Firstly, that as a pastor, I have to get out in the community. I cannot sit in an office looking after Christians every week.
Because it feeds back into your life and head.
Well, it does. And to me, to be able to have a story of me living in the community in a real way every Sunday is really important for my church. I think the second thing was the old culture of revival was all about instant salvation and, you know, get them to church, they're going to get saved today. What I've realized is this, that as my 7th year as a chaplain, you know, it takes years to build relationships and actually, particularly with Aussie blokes, trust in order for them to listen to you.
Who'd be surprised at that, though? That's the curious thing.
Well, we think it was normal. In fact, probably, to be honest, people sitting in churches probably get that. I think it's us as pastors that don't really get that. I mean, again, I love what I do, but we probably tend to get a little bit over-controlling sometimes in that, you know, if we didn't think of it or if we're not ordering it, it's not. It shouldn't really happen. I remember standing there on a home game and I saw, of course, all of the box seats, which are quite expensive, probably over $1,000 a night.
Yeah.
And I realised that the only time you're ever getting those is if you're wealthy and probably a business person, and that's fine. But I thought, wouldn't it be great if those that are a little disadvantaged, that never ever dreamed of being up close and personal to the basketball players they love. And so for 4 years, Lighthouse, we hired a corporate box, and essentially cost us about $18,000 a season. And we, every week, just put a different disadvantaged group in there. We had Barnardo's, orphans. We had some of our homeless people from our youth housing. And I tell you, I got some letters from some kids to say that when they got sweated on or they caught the ball as it was about to go out from one of their favourite players, that they had the greatest night of their life. It was absolutely fantastic.
So tell us how the Hawks basketball team responded to you.
What happened when I first got there, they really didn't know what to do with me. And the coach said to me, well, look, you can be here, but just stay out of the road. Now, to be honest, in my old culture, my first thought was, well, I don't need to be treated like this. I'm not doing this anymore. And then I thought, well, hang on a second, maybe I'm not here for me. And as I began to think that way, I was able to do things like sweep the floor before training, mop up the sweat at the game. And they noticed that, gee, this guy's not here to be a preacher. He's here to be part of the team.
Did they fear you had a hidden agenda for a while?
Absolutely. For the first couple of years, they were convinced that I was here to convert them all. And so I actually had to say sometimes when we got the new imports in from overseas, I had to say, I'm the chaplain. I'm not here to convert you. I'm here to look after you. And I guess over time that has sort of changed the culture that's there.
And that was the truth. There were
that
no
was
hidden
the
agendas.
Truth. One of the things I've committed to do about community work is we've agreed that we will love our community with no agenda whatsoever. In other words, if we do a community event, and we have many of them, we are prepared to do it even if you never come to our church. So we're not fussed. Just going to love you anyway.
There'd be people in the church who'd say, well, why bother?
Well, that was the thing I had to fight with, because I feel like I'm not doing the job I'm supposed to do. But what I've realised is that love is the greatest influence in our community. And if you can do that sincerely... The reality is that in the last 7 years, with me saying I'm not going to convert you, yes, I've actually led 5 basketball players to the Lord. But that was their choice.
Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me if, as you get to know them and they get to know you and especially trust you, there are some significant needs that inevitably emerge.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk, you know, from everything from girlfriends and wives to, you know, what their future's going to look like and what do I do after basketball's over. It's a great opportunity.
But it goes way beyond that. You're on about community transformation, which means what?
Well, to me, we've got to shift from in churches and pastors in their thinking from outreach to transformation. The problem with outreach for me is this. It's always dependent on a budget. So you've either got the money to outreach or you haven't. And honestly, it's dependent on the fanatical few. Well, we want to say, forget outreach. Outreach is a program. Let's do transformation. It means everybody needs to be involved in the church. It takes a long time to do it. And it means that we have to have a strategy for that, not just a shotgun approach to reaching our community.
So in practical terms, what are you going to be doing out there in the community with that?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a list of things. For example, one of our, I guess, signature things we do is homeless youth housing. And we right now have a facility that houses 9 young people. Our goal there is to take them off the street, to house them, to get them employable. Actually, our perfect scenario is off the street, fed, housed, employable, working and then volunteering back in the community. To us, that's the trifecta of the results for us. So that's some of the practical things we do. But actually, the greatest thing we do is we partner with over 65 organisations within our community, because our principle is we don't have to think of it to do it. We will just come alongside and do it with you.
Are any of them suspicious?
Probably, initially. Yeah. But of course, you do this long enough and the community understands really what you're about. We had a professional company do a survey of us in the community. They were asked, what do they think Lighthouse is? 73% of people in our community said, that's a place that helps people. So we kind of figured that it's starting to soak in after a while.
Is there a danger of the church then losing its identity centered around Jesus Christ?
I don't think so, because Jesus was that himself, and Jesus was not a person that hung around the temple all the time. He valued the temple. He loved the temple. But he was out there with the people. So much so for me that my role as senior pastor, don't even call me a senior pastor anymore. I'm just called senior leader of Lighthouse. We even dropped church to people's horror. When I took over, it was Lighthouse Christian Center. I took Christian off it.
Change.
They all nearly fell over on the floor when I took Christian off it. And just this last year, we've taken church.
But there is that danger, though.
There is that
losing
danger.
Losing the identity.
But I really think that it's not in the label, but it's in our authenticity of how we reach the community. So I don't really think people think about us as church, whether we are or we aren't. They just think, are they being authentic about what they say they are? And so for us, we want people to know that they can be involved in a program. They could be in a program with us for 6 months, 12 months, and then find out, oh, gee, you guys are church as well. That's our goal. So rather than everybody's got to come through the front door of a church, we say, why don't we create hundreds of laneways into our community, to which one of them is church.
And you're going to be one of those involved putting these ideas out there at the upcoming Insight Conference. What's its aim, Paul?
Yeah, Insight Conference really brings the right people together, puts them in a room, and lets them see that there are other people in the city probably doing the same things that they're doing. Why don't we do it together? So it's really about connections and conversations. On top of that, we've asked some of the best community transformation leaders to come and speak to us about what they've done practically to reach the community. For example, Peter Kenyon, who heads up ABCD, Community Transformation, works worldwide with communities, local governments, in helping them set really simple strategies to change community. Basically, what they do is say, use what's in front of you. Stop asking for more government funds. Stop expecting the local government to do it. You have what you need to change your community right there and then.
So what's the future look like under this kind of model of community transformation?
To me, I see the church as no longer what everybody really does see it as, which is a building on Sundays. I never forget a friend of mine who's become a friend that I've worked with in America from an organization called Visioneering. He wrote a book called Why the Church Moons Its Community. And I know. That's what caught. Can I say that on your program?
I don't think it's ever been said on Open House. It's a first.
Yeah, that's what happens when you bring somebody up from Wollongong, huh? He said that because right throughout America, they build these huge buildings on huge local city blocks. And what they do is they face the front of the church out the back to the big car park, but the back of the church faces the community. And they're saying, well, it's only full on Sundays and it's deathly quiet during the week. And he says they're mooning their community. And I'd agree. And so I think let's move away from the community thinking church is a building and seeing it really as, for want of a better word, a philosophy of care that really Jesus championed along the way.
Well, the Insight Conference is on from the 10th to 11th of September. We'll put the details up on our Open House Community Facebook page. Sounds good, Paul. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.